Genesis chapter 16. What a chapter we finished. Chapter 15. And Abram believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's how Abram was saved. That's how he got righteousness. He slept through the covenant, if you recall. He didn't promise anything. He didn't have to do anything because he believed it was counted to him as righteousness. Our righteousness is also given to us freely by simply believing in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's all I had to do. That's all you had to do. It's humbling. It's embarrassing. We would like to say we're a lot smarter than that. We would like to say we're much stronger than that. And I figured it out and now I know. But the truth is, it's grace. It is grace. God's mercies. We're studying through Lamentations on Monday nights and we just studied it. God's compassions never fail. His mercies are new every morning. It is because of God's mercies that we have not been consumed already. We can say that about the United States of America. It is because of God's mercies that we have not been consumed as a nation yet. There is always tomorrow, but yet. What a chapter, what a high. Man, you read through chapter 15 and you think, all right, man, God is so good. But then we come to chapter 16. We'll take a dip, if you will. God said in chapter 15, you come out of the tent, look up at the sky, look at the stars. You count, try and count them because that's how many children you have, as many as the stars are in the sky. You can't count them all. And the child, the Eleazar, who is a servant born in your home, yes, he is a good man and he is faithful, but he is not the heir. A child will come through your own body. That's the promise. Now, you know, Abram must have got up in the morning and said, Sarai, man, I got to tell you, I was walking with the Lord last night, went outside the tent, and he said, I'm having a kid. We're going to have a kid through my own body. I know I'm old. Okay, I'm 85. But God said so. I mean, this is exciting. And here's what she must have been thinking. Right. You're 85? That makes me 75. It's not going to happen. It can't happen. It's impossible. Listen to this. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had in a handmaid an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, my servant. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. Here we meet Hagar. Hagar hasn't always been with Abram and Sarai. She hasn't always been part of the family. You see, they made this trip down into Egypt, which was not what God wanted. They should not have gone down there. And down there, Abram got kind of rich. Remember? And Sarai picked up a few things too. One of them being Hagar. Now, already you have seen the riches that he got in Egypt cause trouble in the family, haven't you? Do this. I know. Yes, you have. Caused big trouble. I mean, Lot and the whole thing, and they ended up fighting, and they had to separate, and Lot went down towards Sodom, and now he lives in Sodom. I mean, it created a big mess. All that come out of Egypt. And now we have the Egyptian girl, this young girl, who was given to Sarai as a slave, as a handmaid, as a servant. And when they were kicked out of Egypt, they took all the stuff with them. Yeah, and just keep the servants, keep all the stuff, just go. And don't do this to us anymore. They should have never gone to Egypt. The things that they got while in Egypt have caused them trouble. And now this young slave girl is going to become trouble too. Abram, I know he's been telling his wife what the Lord has promised him. And Sarai thought about this, and she decided it. I can't have children. I am too old. Now, I know that you've never done that, but other Christians will do that sometimes. We have a tendency to say, this can never be. I give up. Oh, how many Christians today just give up. That's becoming our anthem. I quit. Count me out. I mean, I tried serving God for 3 whole weeks one time. I'm tired now. I quit. This doesn't work. 6 months, I've prayed and I haven't got what I want. Therefore, God doesn't answer prayer. So I'm finished. I'm through. This is hard. You never say that, but others, I've heard him say it. And Sarah decided, I can't have children. I'm too old. So for God's promise to come through Abraham or Abram, it's going to have to be some other woman. I mean, let's face it. Let's use logic, everyone. I can't have kids. I'm 75. It can't happen. Therefore, for God's promise to take place, it's going to have to happen some other way. A younger woman. Maybe someone in her early 60s. I don't know. Just a younger woman. God promised it. Listen. God promised it, but Sarai says it cannot be. God promised it. And when was the last time you said, my marriage is never going to be, I quit, I give up. This is never going to be better. I just live with this. You know, that's our attitude with all of life. I just live with it. I don't want to fight. I don't want to argue. I just live with it. Yeah, but God promised it. Oh, no, it can't be. It's impossible. It is impossible. It can't be. And so if it's going to be, it's not going to be through me. It's going to have to be somebody else, Sarah says. God promised it, but listen closely. I know better. Isn't that what she's saying? God promised you, Abram, but I know something you don't. You men, you guys just don't understand, all right? I'm a woman. I've been around. I'm 75. It's not going to happen, buddy. It's different with men than it is with women. Okay, it's just not going to happen. But God promised. Sorry, but it's not going to happen. Isn't that what she's saying? God said so, but I know better. Don't mess with me. God promised, but obviously he wasn't thinking. He wasn't paying close attention. He wasn't taking into consideration my age and all the other impossible circumstances. Sure, God promised, but let's not get ridiculous. In other words, I'm at least smart enough to know that it's not going to happen. I wish God were a little smarter, because it would sure make me feel better. Because it's kind of embarrassing and humbling for Abram, for you to walk around saying, telling everybody, you know, God promised, we're going to have a kid, man, we're going to have a son. Abram, you want to just knock this off, because we know it's not going to happen. Not this way, anyway. You know, in that area and in that day, it was the legal custom. It was legal and it was customary that if a woman could not have children, she could give her servant, if she had one, to her husband. And that servant would then become a concubine. The term is wife, but it's a second class wife. If it's like, here's the wife is here, and then the other is a wife also, but a lower level of wife, a concubine. You know, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had 1,000 wives. 300 were just a second class. 700 were, you know. So if a woman couldn't have children, she could give her servant to her husband as a second class wife. And a child born from that union was considered, or could be considered, the child of the first wife. The way it would have to work is that child at a certain age, the father of the child would say, you are my son. In other words, he would literally, even though it was his son, he would literally be adopting him in. Today, I have begotten you. You are my son today. At 13, sometimes around in there, they would do it. So that was the practice. So this was legal and very common. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? I'll say it again. So it was legal, and it was very common. It was common practice. It was the custom. Now listen, it wasn't God's will. It's not what God wanted. It's not the way God promised it, but it was legal, and everybody's doing it. It's the custom. It's customary. It's okay. I hear that today. Do you? It's legal. I mean, it's not like we're breaking some kind of bizarre law. It's legal. Everybody's doing it. It's very common. You know, that's not the question, Christian. People say, it's not so bad. I'm not breaking any laws here in this country or even around the world. But what does God himself say about it? What does God himself have to say about it? Just because it's customary, just because it might be legal, are you sure that it is God's will? Are you sure that it would bless God? Are you sure God would say yes? God is not in any way at all going to accept this, by the way. I've read ahead. He's not going to accept this. But it's legal and it's the custom. But he is not going to accept it. He refuses. He says, no, Abram, no, not Ishmael. I promised you a son through your own body. Now listen closely, guys. Let's see if we can tie this together. Well, what's through my body? Me and Hagar. No, your own body. Who's he saying, everybody? That the husband and wife, the two shall become one. And so when God went looking in the garden for both of them, what did he call them? Adam, where are you? People say, I'm kind of offended. You know, he didn't go looking for Eve. Yes, he did. He called her when he said Adam, because the two are one flesh. And so when he says to Abram, you will have a son through your own body, who is he talking about? Sarah and Abraham. Not Hagar, not anybody down the road. What is God's word on the issue? What is God's plan? What is God's will? You say, come on. It's common practice now. It's just commonly done around the country. Come on. It's legal. That's not the question. The question is, what is God's will? What is God's word on this subject? What does God himself want in this situation? They should have done what was right. They didn't. Sarai, all by her lonesome, hatched a plan. I got an idea. What is it? It's acceptable. According to the world's standards, it makes perfect sense in the eyes of the world, and it makes perfect sense to me, too. I am too old. I'm not ashamed to admit it. It can't happen. I'm too old. So I have a plan, Abram. I'll give you Hagar as a second-class wife, as a concubine. If she has children, we'll just count them as mine. We'll count them as ours. They'll be our kids. Legal. But you know what? There's no faith in that. Is there? There's no trust in the Lord in that, is there? There's no consulting God in it anywhere. You don't see her say, well, God promised, but it can't happen. I need to talk to God about it. I need to pray. You don't see that. You see, she hatches this plan. Here's what I'm going to do. There is a way, we're told in Scripture. There was a way that seems right unto a man, a woman, to people, but the end thereof is death, destruction, suffering. There are ways, even today, you say, this is how I'm going to handle it. This is what I'm going to do. And you might be shocked to find out that you're worse off than you were to begin with because you didn't pray about it. You didn't really seek the Lord. Many times, we don't want to seek Him because we want to do what we want. I remember when they called me to come out to the Bible college, Larry Taylor called and he said, I really believe the Lord has laid you on our heart. Pray about coming out. And I said, I'm not going to pray about it because I don't want to come out there. He goes, what do you mean you won't pray? I said, well, what if I pray and God says, do it. I don't want to do that. He goes, no, seriously, pray about it. I'm like, I don't want to go. It snows. up there in those mountains. That's all I needed to know. You know how you get your mind made up. Would have hurt nothing to stay in Arizona. It would have hurt nothing. It was okay. It was legal. I was teaching the Bible. That's what God called me to. It wouldn't hurt anything. I'm not praying about it. What if you pray about it and God says, go? Oh, my goodness. Sarah, she hatched a plan. The plan went against God's will. The plan went against God's word. But it was commonly done. And it was legal. Certainly nobody's going to look down on Sarai for doing that. She had every right according to the world. Well, the Bible says Abram listened to her. I've heard Bible studies at men's retreats to say, men, see, Adam listened to Eve, Abram listened to Sarai. See, God made the point clear, don't listen to your wife. I'm not really convinced that's exactly what's being taught here. I know you're excited about it, guys, but that's not exactly what's being taught here. But there are times when you need to make sure that you listen to what the Lord has to say over what everybody else is suggesting and saying. They may have some outstanding, really solid, good advice. It may really be logical because Sarah's hatched plan is a very reasonable, logical plan. And you have to admit, you can't take away from her plan. I mean, this is a pretty smart lady. Can't happen, but here's how it could. So she did it. And she took Hagar, verse 3, her maid, that Egyptian, the Egyptian after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. So now Abram's got two wives. You already know, baby or no baby, that he's now got a problem, doesn't he? I mean, baby or no baby, you know he's going to have a hard row to hoe. If you're a farmer, that makes perfect sense. Can you imagine having two husbands? That's two people sitting around. I mean, just think how difficult it is to have two wives. What's all the ladies laughing about? Verse 4 says, and he went into Hagar. Abram, you fool. Nobody twisted his arm, beat him up, and made him. You know why he went in? It's commonly done. It makes perfect sense. And it's legal. Seems anymore, that's all a Christian needs. Seems anymore that you don't even have to pray about it anymore. Law says I can do it, I'm doing it. You sure you don't want to pray about this? You sure you don't want to seek the Lord? What does God's word say about this specific issue? I talked with a young man this week. I said, here's what God's word says. He said, I don't want to hear that. I do not want to hear it. I said, well, of course you don't, because you know you're doing what's wrong. And he also told me, others are calling me and telling me this, and so I'm not answering my phone. And I thought, I'd probably feel the same way if I wanted to go do my thing and everybody was rebuking me. I'd probably just turn my phone off too. No seeking the Lord. No saying, what does your word say? What is your will? Just, here's a plan. It's okay. It's legal. I'm doing it. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, verse 4 says, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Could have knocked us over with a feather, right? And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and you. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly or harshly with her, she fled from her face. Abram without praying. Oh man, chapter 15, he believed in God. It was counted to him for righteousness. You're going to have all these kids from your own body. Oh, Abram, and there's a covenant, and he has this vision, and those people will be 400 years strangers in a strange land, but they'll come out, and they won't come out poor. I'll bless them, and don't you worry, I've got it, Abram. And he's thrilled. He's on a mountaintop, and he now, without seeking the Lord's will and direction, went along with the plan. Hey, again, it's a great idea. Humanly speaking, it's a great plan. And, of course, Abram could say, and the truth is, I don't have a better idea. I mean, I've had people tell me that. I say, I don't think that's wise. They go, you got a better idea? That's usually how you shut somebody up. And you go, well, no. Okay, then, that's what we're doing. He didn't have a better idea, so that's what they did. You know, put yourself in his shoes. I'm not a woman. I don't know that kind of stuff. I mean, if Sarai says she can't have kids and she's too old, well, probably she knows. Why wouldn't she know? She's my wife. Bible says I need to respect her. So, Abram goes into Hagar. She gets pregnant. And of course, people say, now why did God do that? Why didn't, if Sarah can have kids, how come Hagar can? She's Egyptian. We can't go through this whole biology course here. But you need to know that that's how people are made. Okay? All right, if they're not real problems, in other words, man and woman get together, then they're babies. I don't want to go into more detail than that right now. You got it? That's how people are made. That was God's idea. He made them that way. And so it's not a shock to our system. You got this young girl, and she marries this guy. They have a little concubine ceremony, and then she gets pregnant. And you're thinking, what happened? That's how people are made. That's how it works. I don't understand some of the Bible studies that go on. And some people say, well, she got pregnant. Obviously, it was God's will. Hey, it wasn't God's will for her to even be his wife. What do you mean she got? Young people, they come and say, we better get married. What do you mean better? Well, she's pregnant. How did that happen? Well, we prayed about it first. If God didn't want her to be pregnant, she wouldn't. Hold it. Let's back up here. I think, you see, there are some things, and then you had to go to the biology class. Obviously, it's God's will. If God didn't want her pregnant, she wouldn't be pregnant. I'm sorry, but that is the logic of many today as well. But that logic is really not quite as solid as you might think it is. You see, God created our bodies to work that way. And of course, obviously, if you don't want to get pregnant, you need to not do certain things. I think men and women are being foolish. They say we loved one another, but we didn't know if she would get pregnant. Well, that's the way we were created. Chances are good it is going to happen. And just because you think you love somebody doesn't change the fact that you should seek God's will in all that you're doing and all that you're about. And people aren't doing that. In other words, you and I should be praying. Praying. Seeking the Lord's will. Seeking his ways for our own lives. And to do that, you and I need a personal relationship with Jesus. You got to know the one who made you. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you and I need to be in fellowship with the Lord. And praying about issues. All issues. Well, as a result of Abram going into Hagar, you expected this. Hagar is now pregnant. And now, her attitude changes, the Bible says. She's gone from being Hagar the servant to Hagar the wife, who's now pregnant. So, of course, I'm going to have a baby, Sarah, and you're not. So she began to look at Sarah like this. What a loser you are. Looking down her nose is the term. I'm obviously more of a woman than you'll ever be. You see, she despised Sarah. Literally, she looked down upon Sarah. Because I'm going to have a child now, Abraham's child, and you're not. And remember, in those days, it was a shame for a woman not to have children. That was a shame. The women were embarrassed. They considered it a curse. You can go back and read through the very first few chapters of 1 Samuel and see how Samuel's birth came about. And you can see how brokenhearted his mother was. Well, now, the Bible says, now, Sarai literally knows she's done something wrong. Let me read it to you. Verse 5 says, Sarai says to Abram, my wrong be upon you. She knows I've done wrong. I've done no good. Now she sees the results, and she's basically kicking herself. My wrong, she says. Of course, you and I know, and this is no secret, that hindsight, looking back, is always 20/20. Isn't it clear? You can look it back and say, oh, I should have never done that. Oh, my goodness, look at that. Now, it's perfectly clear what was going on. I couldn't see it at the time, but oh, no. Should have stayed away. Should have not done this or done that. It's too late now. But here's what Sarai does. You're the head of the house. It's your fault. I know, guys, you've heard it. My wrong be upon you. What did you go in there for? But No. You should have known better. You're the head of the house. My wrong be upon you. I'm mad at you. What are you mad at me for? Because you should have known better. This was wrong. And now look at the trouble it's caused me. That's what she's saying, guys. Sorry, that's what she's saying. Hindsight is always clear. I should not have done that. She says, my wrong, basically, is all your fault. And you can hear it. You can hear it. How can you be? You don't love me. How can you let this happen to me? I thought you loved me. It's your fault, Abraham. Look at your concubine and how she's treating me. Look at it. She despises me. You shouldn't be surprised this is coming. Just because it was legal, just because it was customary, you should have prayed. You should have gone before the Lord and sought the Lord and said, Lord, you promised children, but I'm too old. I don't understand. Show me how should we deal with this? How should we handle this? They tried to do it in the flesh. Here's a plan. This will work. And I know that you've tried it too. I've tried it too. We've tried it. And doesn't it just cause more trouble? Now she goes, oh man, I'm more miserable than ever. Now she was my servant at one time. Now she is looking down on me. She's going to have a child and I'm not. And boy, that makes me sick. Abram, I'm mad at you. And here's a smart man. He says, she's your servant too. You handle it. I'll read it in his language. Abram said to Sarai, verse 6, behold, your maid is in your hand. Do as it pleases you. Do to her. I'm staying out of this one, girls. Sarai, you are her mistress. You handle it the way you think you should handle it. Any way you see fit. Oh, boy. Imagine living in that house for a while. Because the Bible says Sarai treated Hagar harshly. She abused her. She was mean to her. This wasn't Hagar's fault, you guys. This was somebody trying to get God's work accomplished in the flesh. It's gone all wrong. It's now hurting her. It's now making Abram's life miserable. And she's wanting something done about it. And he just says, look, it's your handmaid. You handle it. You deal with this. And so she begins to abuse this young lady. Because this young lady's looking down at her, looking, you know, down her nose at her. So what happened? Verse 6 says, Abram said to Sarai, behold, the handmaid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt harshly or hardly with her, she fled from her face. That literally means in our language that Hagar, this young Egyptian girl, ran away for her own safety, for her own peace of mind. She ran away. And it looks like she's running home. Reading some of the next verses, she's headed south, headed back toward the wilderness of Shur, headed down toward Egypt. She's going back where she came from. That's what the Bible says. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Headed down south, headed to the wilderness, on the way down to Egypt. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou and whither wilt thou go? She said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply thy seed accordingly, or exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child. Thou shalt bear a son and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well called, that big word there, Be'er Lehoi Roi, or however you say that in American, behold, it's between Kadesh and Bered. The angel of the Lord, as she's running away, she's at a well, a fountain, some waters. Now, she's out in the wilderness. That's a dangerous place. This young Egyptian girl, this could mean her death. She's pregnant. She's out there. There's not a lot of water. There are thieves. There are robbers. It's an ugly world. So she's in a dangerous situation. And the angel of the Lord, and many believe this is Jesus Christ himself, shows up. That's what we call a Christophany or Theophany, appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Hagar's headed south, probably headed home back to Egypt. The angel says this. He asks two questions. Where have you come from and where are you going? And she basically answers one. I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai. And so the Lord, and I believe it's the Lord, gives her two commands. He doesn't suggest this. You know, I think you ought to. This is a command, two commands. Number one, go home, go back. And number two, submit yourself. He asks her two questions. Where are you coming from? Where are you going? She says, I'm running away from my mistress. Here's what I want you to do. Two commands. Go back. And number two, submit to Sarai. Submit to her. And I, he says, I, not the Lord, but he says, I will multiply thy seed. Notice that? I believe it's Jesus Christ speaking with this girl. Needless to say, that must have been interesting. Notice, he said, I will multiply thy seed. You will have many descendants. You will have a son. That baby that you're carrying is a boy. He says, and I want you to name him Ishmael. That literally means God will hear. Because, you know, God hears is what he's saying. He's going to be a wild kind of guy. He's not going to be a settled young fella. He's what today you and I would call Bedouin. In other words, he's going to go from place to place to place, kind of like Abraham's doing now. But he's going to go from place to place to place. And he's not going to have a place where people like him. He's always going to be getting into their hair. They're always going to be getting into his. It's not going to be a real settled outfit that this Ishmael's going to run. All through history, his descendants have been that way and still are, if you'll take a look. Because the Arabs are descendants of Ishmael. And so they will tell you, our father is Abraham. True, but not through Isaac, through Ishmael. And they are hot-headed, and they're butting heads with one another, as well as butting heads with anybody they can, still to this day. She names the place. Listen closely. This is a little Egyptian girl, and they have millions of gods. But those gods are, you know, the frog, the lizard, the snake, the bird. They have gods for everything, for the trees, the plants, the water, the whatever. But this God of Abraham, is different. And she realized it because she says this. She names the place. The one who sees after me. Matter of fact, she names God that. He's the one who sees after me. This is new to her. None are like this God of Abraham. The one true God sees. What she's saying is, I've run away. I'm out here in the wilderness, and this God knows right where I'm at. He still sees me. He knows what I'm doing. He knows what's going on. I'm not used to this. He watches for you. He takes care of you. She says, he's the one that sees. The Bible says she went back. Verse 15 says, Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. Literally again, God will hear, or God hears. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to him. 86 years old. And he has a brand new baby boy named God Hears. You would think that it was impossible. Now here's what Abram thinks. Before we have to stop here, but here's what he thinks. All right. God promised. And here's the promise. Listen closely. You need to read your Bible. I need to read my, we need to read our Bibles. We need to know what God says. Because God's promise was so clear, and it has nothing to do with Ishmael, has nothing to do with Hagar. That is of the flesh. That was a plan that Abraham's wife hatched, and it has nothing to do with God's will. Again, it was common. It was legal. And everybody was doing it. So for Abram and Sarai to do that was no problem in their eyes. Yet it was unacceptable to God. Those are lessons for us as we head on into the next chapters coming up. All sorts of things today are legal to do. All sorts of things are what I would call common, commonplace practices. But they are not for us to do. They are not for us to be a part of. You hear that? They are not for you and me, because we would seek the will of the Lord first and foremost before we would do anything, even if it were legal. If you decided, I want to move to Texas, before you would do that, it's perfectly legal, you can. Don't tell Texas you're coming, because, you know, they want to keep it to themselves. Perfectly legal. It's very common. Well, not that common, but you ought to pray about it before you go. You ought to seek the Lord and say, Lord, what is your will? The laws are changing in our nation much more rapidly than you and I can keep up with them. And they're changing based on not the Constitution anymore, based on not based on a lot of law set precedents, but based on the need, the felt need. I mean, here's a situation. We've never dealt with this. We have to make up something to deal with it. So judges are literally coming up with things that people aren't, they're not sure where they're coming from anymore. And it's getting ugly in the United States of America, because just as in the book of Judges, there was no king. And because there was no king, people started doing what was right in their own eyes. Sarah did what was right in her own eyes. It made sense. And in the book of Judges, a few times we read, because there was no king in Israel, people did what was right in their own eyes. Because Jesus Christ has been rejected, because God is not wanted anymore around America, Americans are beginning to do what's right in their own eyes. Mayors of cities will say, this is right in my eyes. Doesn't matter what the Constitution says. Well, as a matter of fact, I may be going with it. I may not be going with it. But this is what I think is right, and this is what we're going to do. And then the judges go, well, we're not going to stop him today because we don't quite know what's right anymore. And so they waited till in San Francisco, these same-sex marriages, they waited till almost 4,000 couples were married. Then they said, okay, hold it, you got to stop. We're pretty sure this isn't right, at least according to God. But 4,000 couples went through. Let's get rid of this 501c3. I'll do that right now. $15 million so-called evangelicals, that's us, voted in the 2000 election for president. 15 million. Of the supposed 70 million who claim to be evangelicals, 15 million voted. Of those 70 million, only 24 million were registered to vote. And only 15 million of the so-called evangelicals came out. Yet, you hear it preached all across the country. You read it in books, how things are terrible. And we've got to pray, and we've got to, you know, you have an opportunity, and so do I. Coming up soon. To at least make a little bit of a noise in the way that you vote. And so if you're not registered, we should all make sure we get registered. Semi-painless. And pray about it. Because what the customs are is becoming so strange. They're changing before our eyes. It's even freaking us. Notice, that's customary now. That's considered normal. That's considered what's happening around us. Pray and take every opportunity that you have. Make sure you pray. If you're in a situation where you don't really know what's going to happen, don't assume God can't do this like Sarah did. Oh, your logic may be impeccable. It may be really bulletproof logic, but it is human, fleshly logic. Anytime you try to use logic and you leave out God's almighty power, in the long run, you've missed it. Sarah missed it. It caused her trouble. Listen closely. It has caused Father Abraham and his children trouble before his children were even born. And there's been trouble ever since. And by the way, if you read through Scripture, the trouble will not stop till Jesus Christ himself returns and literally stops it himself. Not that we're mad at Sarah, but you understand. Now in my life and in yours, we just bring it to a close. Pray. Seek the Lord. Make sure that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Seek the Lord. Lord, not what's common, not what's legal. What is your will? What would you have me to do? pray about these things. Let's bow our heads together.